You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
I'm a strong proponent on eating high nutrient dense organic foods and recommend to my patients and listeners to get their key nutrients directly from their diet for ultimate wellness and prevent disease. Now, eat plenty of fresh dark greens for the natural folates and minerals and veggies that are full of the rainbow colors for the super antioxidants and phytochemicals, and herbs and spices for their anti-inflammatory and antimicrobial properties. Today on Wellness for Life, we have a very special guest who's an expert on one of my favorite spices, turmeric. Now, Dr. Ajay Goel. Ajay Goel is the best-selling author of Curcumin, Nature's Answer to Cancer and Other Chronic Diseases. And he's also the director of epigenetics, cancer prevention, and cancer genomics at Baylor University Medical Center. He spent 20 years researching cancer and has been the leading author of contributing to over 150 scientific articles published in peer-reviewed international journals. Wow. Thanks so much for joining us here today, Dr. Ajay.
Thanks for having me on the show. It's a pleasure.
Wonderful. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your research and what your interests are?
Yes. So my research is mostly focused on cancer prevention, just like you said in my title. So I head the Department of Cancer Prevention here at Baylor Research Institute. Within cancer prevention, the big part of my focus of my research is looking at gastrointestinal cancers, so cancers of the gut, so colon, pancreas, liver, gastric, esophageal, rectum, so all the way. So we look at all these cancers, and as you know, and the listeners, probably most of them know, cancer is a disease. You know, we have come a long way. We have learned a lot about the basic biology of the disease. We know how it happens, but in reality, we haven't made that big a difference because the drugs we have for curing patients with cancers are not the best ones. So that's why I don't focus on drug development. I focus on early detection of cancers because we have a lot of evidence that if we can find cancers early on, we can help a lot more people. So my research is focused on cancer prevention, and within that regard, I believe in a lot of diets and lifestyles have something to do with why we're getting so much of cancer, and that's part of my focus of my research. I research on several diet-based phytochemicals, botanicals, and how they can mitigate or reduce your risk for cancer.
You're the type of doctor and scientist that I love to interview because what you're doing is using science and the expert of, you know, as you said, you also go into the epigenetics, which is the genetic aspect on how our genes get turned on and turned off by nutrients and phytochemicals and botanicals. That's phenomenal. And what's exciting that you're talking about is that we can completely change the course of our diseases and in our future. And that's exactly what I want to talk to you about today is, and you know, you're right now, you're excited about curcumin. Turmeric is actually the herb and the root of a sister root to the gingers, which is one of my favorite as well. Tell us a bit about turmeric and what curcumin is.
Yes, absolutely. Just like you said, so turmeric is the spice. It's a herb. It's a root, and it is used for the most part for cooking. You know, so if you go to Southeast Asian countries, it's used a lot. It's used in India a lot, and many other Asian countries. So people cook with it. And if you have ever seen an Indian meal, all Indian meals have yellow color, and that yellow color comes from curcumin. So curcumin is the active medicine which is present in turmeric. So turmeric is a spice we use for cooking, and anywhere between 2 to 4% of total turmeric powder is curcumin. So curcumin is a natural medicine which is present in the spice turmeric. And now there are more than 9,000 peer-reviewed scientific studies published on how curcumin can help prevent disease and virtually so many different cancers. And to suffice it to say that I've yet to find any disease you can think of, as rare as it might be, for which curcumin has not been studied. Because a lot of people come out to ask me, do you know if there's any data on this disease or that disease? And my answer is I challenge everybody, actually, you give me the disease name, and you go to Google, you put the word curcumin, and you put whatever rare disease you want to put in there, and there is science out there. So that speaks volumes that how come a single herb or a spice could function in so many different diseases, and the answers are very simple. As a scientist, I can tell you, when you dump down any disease, it comes down to very simple mechanisms, inflammation. If you have a lot of inflammation, you're going to get, eventually, you're going to turn off some genes, which are going to lead to diabetes, some genes which control Alzheimer's, some genes which control cancer. So that is why this wonderful little spice can work in so many different diseases, because it's probably one of the most potent naturally occurring anti-inflammatories you will ever come across. And not only anti-inflammatory, it's a very potent antioxidant, it's antimicrobial, it has tons and tons of different activities, and that's why it functions so beautifully.
Well, I love what you're saying, because I am a true believer is in that inflammation is the root cause of obviously all these diseases. I'm also someone who I wrote the book The Mighty Mito, and I talk about mitochondrial impairment. And mitochondrial impairment is, again, that has a lot to do with inflammation. So when you do the curcumin research, do you go into mitochondrial impairment as well?
I specifically don't do that, because that's a challenge being a scientist, you know. So I love to do too many things, but as a scientist, one of the things I learned early on in my career is you need to have some focus as well, because there's so many challenging, so many interesting directions you can go in, but then you can lose focus. So I myself do not get into too much mitochondrial biology of curcumin, but I can tell you that a lot of my colleagues in other institutions and other parts of the world, they have done extensive research on how curcumin impacts mitochondrial function, because mitochondria are the powerhouses of our cells. So curcumin has been shown to influence mitochondrial function a lot, but my research is mostly focused on, like you said previously, on epigenetics. And I think that's a very, very important thing, because in the last 15 years, we have learned that we always were taught genetics is your destiny, and I think we are learning that is not true. I think that's a phrase of the poor. We think that destiny, genetics is our destiny, but the true thing is it's the epigenetics, because we are all born with certain DNA, and that nothing we can do about it. You know, we are born with certain set of genes, but what we have learned is it's not about the DNA. It is about how your DNA functions, how your DNA behaves, and that is a process which is controlled by epigenetics, and we have done a lot of studies, we have published a lot of studies where we are showing that simple alterations, simple tweaks to your diet, your lifestyles can change the expression of your genes, and that is why it is so easy and it is so exciting that people who have not lived a healthy lifestyle for a certain number of years, even they can think that they can begin to change their lifestyles and they can reduce the risk for many different diseases. So my research is mostly focused on basically building the bridge between diets, lifestyles, and disease. And I think epigenetics explains all of that very well.
Yes, and here on Wellness for Life, we talk a lot about epigenetics. I love having experts on this field, and you're one of them. So let's talk a bit about how you can use curcumin to alter possibly cancer, in fact, prevent cancer in the future. Because what you said earlier is that cancer treatments are not that great. So what is it that curcumin can do to prevent and maybe even turn off that cancer gene?
Absolutely. So my personal bias is that most of these diet-based botanicals, herbs, spices, and so forth, I think they work best in a preventative setting. And the reason I say that is, you know, you look at global incidence of disease, and especially we're talking about cancer, for example. So every year, CDC puts out global cancer incidence in different parts of the world. And it is very intriguing, and that is part of the reason I got into this field. 20 years ago, when I was looking at something, what is going to be next thing in my life, and I'm looking at every year these charts, and they're color-coded by different, darker the colors or different the colors, bigger the disease incidence. So it was very intriguing to me when I look at countries like U.S., you know, one of the best countries on the planet. You know, we have the best healthcare systems. We have the smartest minds. We have the best infrastructure and best medicine and so forth. But still, you know, in this country, we have the highest burden of any kind of cancer on the planet. This is counterintuitive. Why? We are living in a place where we have everything going on for us, but still we have the highest disease burden. In contrast, you look at countries like India, Africa, where people poverty is still a problem, literacy is a problem, people can't afford good meals, but still these are the two nations where we have lowest incidence of cancers. And the answer is simple. Are we genetically different? Are people in India different than we are in the U.S.? No, the answer is no, they are not. Then what is the reason why certain populations are protected from disease while others get it? And the reasons are simple. Because it's not the genetics. The DNA is same. It is what we do on a daily basis. What are we putting in our mouth on a single everyday basis? And that's where diets come into role. So people in India, they consume turmeric every single day. They eat three meals a day. Every meal is yellow in color, and it is because of turmeric. I'm not trying to suggest that their disease, lower disease incidence is entirely because of turmeric, but that is definitely one part of it, and they use so many other herbs and spices, and probably there is a perfect storm of multiple herbs and spices which protect them from getting this disease. So there's a lot of anecdotal evidence, there's a lot of epidemiological evidence that certain population who consume this kind of food rich in herbs and spices, they live healthier, they live longer, and they have lesser disease incidence. And we have done some work over the last 10 years where we have shown that not only you can use these spices for preventing disease, actually you can help treat as well. And we have published a lot of studies that patients who are on cancer chemotherapy, when they take curcumin along with, actually they can reduce the toxicity of chemotherapy, and they can actually draw benefits of these spices as well. So there's new data now suggesting that not only prevention, but possibly these can be used therapeutically as well.
That's brilliant. You know, I talk a lot here. We love... when I talk about ancestral foods and eating foods from where you're from, I don't know where you are. You from India?
I'm originally from India. Yes, I am.
Yes, I'm Korean. I'm from Korea, and I'll tell you, my best food that I run my I love eating Korean food three meals a day. I mean, if I could help it, I would do that. And I was just in Korea about a month and a half ago, Ajay, and I found the Korean people. There were not at all any overweight people. Absolutely. It was shockingly like, I you know how everyone takes pictures of the, when you're touring, I take pictures of photos of people.
Yes.
Because these people were just, I'm just wasn't used to it. I was like shocked, you know, how incredibly fit they looked. Their skin is pure and clean. There's no acne. And I mean, once in a while I'd see an overweight person, but that person was usually someone in that were older.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
These individuals in Korea, they eat a lot of grain, like flour products, a lot of like pastries and things like that. But it's really different the way I think it was made. And on top of that, they also have what's called kimchi, which is a probiotic. Now, Korean people eat a lot of spicy foods, ginger, you know, red pepper, a lot of different spices and herbs and roots. And I really believe that all has to do with why, even though they eat a lot of gluten products, they're not suffering as the way Americans are suffering.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true, and I completely agree with you. But now you brought in a good example of people in Korea or other parts of Asia. They're so lean, they're so thin, and they don't get as much of disease incidence. But I can also tell you, if you look at the, because this is what I do for a living, I do research. So I can also tell you, in the last 10 to 15 years, the disease incidence in many of these countries, including Korea, India, China, and Japan, is changing. You know, so some of the diseases which they were not historically used to seeing, now they are getting those diseases. And you know why? Because 15 years ago, we did not have any McDonald's there. We did not have any Burger Kings there. And now I travel all over the world. Every time I go to Japan, Korea, China, people are flocking to McDonald's. They think this is a fantastic food. So I think those people are giving up their native food just to adapt this junk food we have offered from U.S. to them, and that is why everybody's trying to eat these kinds of things, and they're changing their risk for these diseases. They are not appreciating that what they had was so much better, but everybody wants to follow Western culture, and that's where the problem is.
You're absolutely right about it. And there are, I mean, like every corner you'll see it. But like I said, I mean, most Koreans love Korean food, and I think there's definitely something to be said about eating your native foods, my ancestor, your ancestors. So let me ask you this. You said that you did a lot of research on curcumin. You still do. Is there a certain kind? I mean, can anyone go out and just buy curcumin in a supplement form, or is there a certain type that you highly recommend because you studied that
Yes, I
exact
think that's a very
formula?
important question, and I think that's where this whole industry of natural products is has to be very careful, because I think going to a store and picking up anything from the shelf is not the good answer. So I think you asked a very, very important question. No two curcumin extracts are same, so you have to be very careful, just like we do every day when we buy fruit or veggies to a store. What do? We just simply go and pick up the first one we see? No, we don't do that. We look it up and saying, is it clean? Is it healthy? Is it fresh looking? And all that. It's the same thing with supplements. You have to be very careful in terms of how you read the labels. So one of the challenges with curcumin is it is not very well absorbed when you ingest it. So what that means is once you take a supplement pill or a capsule, much of it comes out very fast. So because that's how it was. But there are many different companies have now tried to use different technologies, different approaches to enhance its absorption so that we can retain in the body longer, so that we can derive higher therapeutic value from that. And there are many different approaches, and I cannot speak for every one of them, but in my research, I've used a very specific type of curcumin extract, which is called BCM95 curcumin. And the reason I chose this, I've been researching on this for many, many years now. The reason I chose it was that the technology or the process they used to prepare BCM95 curcumin was very natural. What they do is, so most other companies, what they will do is they will ground up turmeric, they will extract curcumin, and then they'll get rid of, then they will blend it with some sort of artificial lipids, because when you coat curcumin with fats or lipids, you can enhance its absorption. However, we don't realize that when we're going to coated with artificial lipids, we do not know what kind of toxicity or side effects these might have. But with BCM95, what they do is they extract curcumin and then they coat it with the essential oils which are already present in turmeric, which is beautiful because now you're basically using the oils which were already present in turmeric. And we have done research that it is 7 to 10 times more available. We have done many clinical trials and it stays in the body longer. So I really like that. And not to suggest that there may not be anything better out there, but I can only speak for BCM95 curcumin. We have finished many clinical studies. We are doing currently many, many clinical trials on patients with cancers, patients with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, diabetes, you name it. And we are seeing phenomenal results. So it is very important to look for a curcumin extract which is natural, which is more bioavailable, and which is as wholesome as possible.
I'm someone that also really look for the best when it comes to delivery system and the enhancement of the nutrient or the supplement or herb, because there's no doubt we are, I mean, the industry is just loaded and loaded, loaded with supplements, and the majority of them don't work very well. I know I looked in on this 95, BCM 95 from Dolcas Biotech. I love doing this kind of sciencey research. So when I was studying about your research on curcumin and this BCM 95, it's really interesting that it's a company that makes this part, this powder of curcumin, and then there's different forms of companies that buy the raw material, right? The BCM 95 is the raw material.
That's correct. So BCM95 is actual curcumin extract, and then many other companies buy them, and then they sell the finished product, and then they give it their trade names. So there are many companies who make them, but as a scientist, I can speak for only the extract, so I cannot get into trade names because I have no interest in that thing.
You have no idea.
So you
Yes.
have no idea. So what I'm saying is, as a scientist and my research, that this is a very effective curcumin extract. Now, as a consumer, people want to look up if they want to use BCM95. I think they should look up on Google and or whatever ways they can find it, different vendors, and see whoever they feel more comfortable with in terms of pricing, quality, track record of the company, historical, reputation of the company, and so forth.
Which is great. That's going to be awesome. And I love the whole idea of that they use the actual essential oils from turmeric. So using the natural ingredients to deliver at a much higher availability and deliver it into the cell even more so. Let's go ahead then go into a little bit more is we talked about curcumin and you like working with right now with gastrointestinal, but can you use curcumin for other, we spoke a little bit about inflammatory, but other diseases as well. I know, you know, I use curcumin for joint disease. I treat a lot of fibromyalgia and joint and chronic fatigue issues.
Yes. So, like I told you in the very beginning that I've yet to find a disease for which it has not been studied. My primary focus is on cancer, but at the same time, I've been involved in many other studies. And, a few years ago, we published the first human clinical trial on patients with rheumatoid arthritis. You know, it's arthritis is a autoimmune disease. Rheumatoid arthritis is a autoimmune disease, but there's a big component of inflammation in there. And in this study, it was a beautiful study in the sense that these patients were already taking non-steroidals, which is the standard of care for patients who have rheumatoid arthritis. So it was a three-arm study where we let people continue with their non-steroidals. In the other arm, we gave people curcumin, and in the third one, we gave them a combination of both. And what we found after 8 weeks, it was a short pilot study, that actually patients who took curcumin, they did as well as those who took non-steroidals, which is amazing because this is a spice which is dirt cheap, which has no toxicity, and you can take it for so many different things, while anywhere between 60 to 20,000 people die in U.S. alone from overuse of non-steroidals, because when you take non-steroidals, you're going to take them for the rest of your life. It's not a fix. So we published this study. A couple of years back, we published another study on people who have chronic depression. You know, a lot of people are clinically diagnosed, others are not, but we sometimes we feel that that's a common thing. And again, in that study, we compared the efficacy of curcumin with Prozac, you know, people who were taking Prozac for their symptoms for depression. And again, in the same study, curcumin performed as good or actually slightly better than Prozac. So if I'm a patient and if I'm given this choice, here you have a natural spice, which is safe, which has no toxicity, costs only a few cents a day, compared to something which is very expensive, comes with toxicity, which one would I pick? And we also know that curcumin is not going to help you just for your one thing, but it's going to help you for so many other indications. So absolutely, there's tons and tons of data now to show that it works on a variety of chronic diseases. And most of these diseases, like we talked earlier on, has an inflammatory component to it. So it is quite exciting that we can use a simple spice like curcumin for so many different ailments.
That's great. And obviously we talked about the BCM 95, but I'm interested in the dosage and frequency, meaning how much are we supposed to be taking of these supplements?
Yes. So that's a question which I'm often asked by people. What is the right dose for curcumin? What is the right dose for BCM 95? And I will not give you a very good answer, but I'll try to explain it why. You know, the whole concept of dosing comes from pharmaceutical industry, because when we take drugs, we want to make sure that if we take X milligrams or X grams of something, we want to make sure that much of it comes out very fast, because we don't want this drug to be hanging out in our bloodstream for too long. But when it comes to botanicals or spices or herbs, do we every time we eat salad, do we count our lettuce leaves, how many lettuce leaves we are eating? Do we count how many tomatoes we are eating or berries or cherries we are eating? No. So the point here being that when things are natural, there's a big range of forgiveness, you know. So you don't need to measure precisely. So, but what I recommend to people is those who are healthy, those who want to take a proactively a natural health supplement, I recommend something between a dose of 2 to 300 milligram to 500 milligram curcumin, BCM95 curcumin possibly each day. And the way I calculated that is based on a typical Indian diet. A typical Indian meal when people consume as turmeric, the equivalent is about 100 milligrams curcumin they're consuming with each meal. So if you take three meals a day, so it's about, they're consuming about 300 milligrams. So that's why I say this is a good, perfect prophylactic supplement dose. But those who have any disease or they're trying to use it for some therapeutic benefit, they can go easily up to 2 grams or so split over the day. But again, I highly recommend that anybody who is a patient who is going to take this they must consult with their physician first. I don't want to offer this as a medical advice because they must consult with their physician before they get there. But there are clinical studies done that people who took up to 12 grams of curcumin, virtually no toxicity. So it is extremely safe compound. So for healthy individuals, anywhere around 300 to 500 milligrams is a good dose, while for those who are trying to use it for disease, up to 2 grams, maybe even 3 grams is fine.
That's good to hear. So, you know, we talk about anti-inflammatories and if you're taking drugs, how it can actually be problematic with thinning of the blood. Does curcumin do that too?
Yes. So that, I think that's an extremely important question. Curcumin on its own does not cause blood thinning. That's been shown multiple times. However, if somebody's already taking blood thinning drugs such as warfarin, then they should be careful because it can enhance those blood thinning activities. So that would mean if somebody's already on blood thinners, they should exercise more caution if they're going to take curcumin. So not to suggest that they cannot take it, but they should be extra cautious if you're already on some sort of pharmaceutical-based blood thinners. But other than that, on its own, there's no concern about blood thinning activities.
That's great. Your book, Curcumin, Nature's Answer to Cancer and Other Inflammatory Diseases. Thanks so much, Dr. Ajay. I had such a great time talking to you. You're a wealth of information. I really want to have you come back. Can you do that?
Okay. Absolutely. I would love to do that. And it was really a pleasure. It was all mine to be on your show. And I look forward to being on there sometime in future. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I actually saw one of your articles on resveratrol. And I love resveratrol. So I'd love to maybe one day have you come on and chat with us about resveratrol.
We'd love to do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Ajay. All right, this is Dr. Bennett. Thanks so much for being here on our show. I put all the links on Dr. Ajay's information on Wellness for Life Radio show page on Radio MD. So see you next time. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Wellness for Life Radio on Radio MD. Stay well.